Well, good evening, everyone. So, 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. So what we see here in this passage is Paul is returning to the topic of sexual immorality, which he began in chapter 5, verse 1. So I'm going to be going through 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. 12 through 20. So he's returning to this topic that he started earlier. And there in 1 Corinthians 5, 1, there's a specific incident and situation that he's addressing, and that is the immorality that was going on that the church there in Corinth was tolerating. So he talks about that, but then he seems to take a small detour where he discusses their lack of discernment and immaturity there in the Corinthian church in regards to settling disputes, in regards to judging matters within the church. And, you know, why would they go to the unrighteous to settle these disputes? But now he is coming back to sexual immorality in general. So I'm going to read the passage, then there's a few thoughts here tonight. So 1 Corinthians 6, there in verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you, Lord, for the Apostle Paul and how you used him to communicate these truths, this revelation in these letters. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can now read them and learn. Help us to understand what you would have for us here tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So here in the passage, so in verse 12 and 13, I read a few different commentaries and just what people thought, and I think this is what makes sense to me. It appears that Paul is quoting a couple sayings that were making their way throughout the church in Corinth, a few sayings that people were spouting off and really not using them correctly. Right? So all things are lawful for me. So that was one of these quotes. He's quoting these things. That's what people were saying. All things are lawful for me. And then you notice he says, but, you know, yeah, but. So there's a, they're misunderstanding. They're misapplying some of these things. So they say, all things are lawful for me. And you notice that he says that twice in verse 12. But then he also we have this verse 13, foods for the stomach and stomach for foods. And again, he says, yes, but. So these are things that people were saying. Maybe they were being led astray as far as overusing and misapplying these things. And really, they reveal the attitude that the Corinthians had about sexual immorality. And Paul is going to correct their misunderstanding, their misapplying of these sayings. All things are lawful for me, and foods for the stomach, stomach for the foods. They're misapplying and using it for a justification for sin, using it as an excuse. Hey, I'm free from the law, right? So I can do what I want. The Christian is not bound by the law as a rule of life. You know, for example, dietary restrictions. Hey, I'm free from the law. But, you know, Paul says, yes, but, right? We're free from the law, the ceremonial, you know, laws, these kind of things. Yes, but. And then in verse 13, food for the stomach. So, and stomach for the food. So what's being said here is, you know, God created us with physical appetites, and we get hungry, or maybe you get hangry. I get hangry, angry and hungry at the same time. So yes, he created our stomach with physical appetites, and we get hungry. And he also provided food. He created food that would meet that need, that would fill that hunger. He created food for us to eat to satisfy our hunger. But see, the Corinthians were taking that, they were making a logical leap here and applying this to sexual immorality. Well, you know, God created my body with certain needs and desires, and he's created sex in order to meet that need. So what's the difference? What's the difference between just my, I'm hungry and I, you know, I want to fulfill a need? What's the difference? So Paul's saying, there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference in what we eat and how we, what we do in our bodies, how we use our bodies. God's given us a wonderful gift with sexuality, but there is a proper way of finding fulfillment in marriage, right? That is the only way to find fulfillment in marriage for that. So Paul's going to correct some of these misunderstandings and attitudes that the Corinthians had. You know, they were Romans, they were Greek, right? They had certain attitudes about these things, and the culture there had certain attitudes about these things, so Paul needed to correct them and give them some revelation about what is different about Christianity, because it is completely different than many of the other, all religions, really. The Gnostic philosophies, heresies, so much different. So that's what he's going to get into here. So, so now going to verse 12. Verse 12 here. So he says, like I said, I think he's quoting, and he says, all things are lawful for me. He says, but all things are not helpful, or all things are not, says in my margin here, profitable, right? So, you know, and we're not talking about sin, right? We're not talking about all things are lawful, so go ahead and steal, cheat, lie, commit adultery. That's not what we're talking about. Talking about things that are amoral, right? They don't have any moral choices involved with them. Things like, am I going to eat a taco or a hamburger, right? It's like, it doesn't make any difference as far as morality. You know, but the Jews, they lived under a set of laws and rules. They had a legalistic system that governed every aspect of their lives. What they ate, the clothes they wore, farming practices, I mean, everything, how they spent their days during the Sabbath, everything that they did, every aspect of their life was governed by a legalistic system. So we're not under that. We're not under that. So we can go ahead and eat shellfish, right? We can go ahead and wear clothes mixed with different materials. We can do that. We're not under that system. But we do have that liberty, but not all things are helpful for us. Not all things are beneficial in our lives. You know, I can go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. I can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But right before a foot race, it's not a good idea, right? It's not helpful. It doesn't help. You know, we're in a race, right? We're, as Christians, we're running the race, pursuing him. There's things that can get in the way that may not necessarily be sin. He says, lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Anything that would hinder us from pursuing him, lay aside. Lay aside those things. Not helpful. Something that's not profitable, helpful towards our spiritual growth. Wasting our time. There's so many things that pull our hearts away or our attention away that have no benefit to our lives at all. I think about my phone. You know, we take a look at our phone, we read, you know, social media or news or whatever. I mean, it's endless. You can spend hours just staring at it. It doesn't do any good in my spiritual growth. So that's what Paul's talking about here. That yes, we're free in Christ, we have liberty in Christ, but pay attention to what you're spending your time doing. Not everything is helpful. Not everything is going to help you be conformed to the image of his son, right? So, yes, we're free, but everything is not profitable or helpful. So then he goes on. He repeats it again. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any or anything. So again, yes, I have liberty, but I'm not going to allow myself to be brought in bondage to addictions, food, drink, hobbies. You know, liberty can become bondage if we allow it. You know, the things that we do, the time we waste, what we spend our time doing, it can lead to bondage. So he says, Paul says, I will not be brought under anything, under the power of anything. In verse 13, food's for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. See, this whole idea of this hunger that we have in our stomach, these are temporal things, right? Our need for food is temporal. It's going to pass away. And like I said before, you know, these things they don't have a moral issue with it. Doesn't matter. You have a burger or a taco. You get a menu. There's no moral, stand you're taking. You know what you're going to eat. These things are passing away. This need is passing away. I was reading about our new bodies, or trying to learn about, you know, what it says about our new bodies. And, it seems to me that food will be just for pleasure, not for a need, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ, after he was risen, he met with the disciples and he had, do you have anything to eat, you know, with his new body? You know, what else is interesting? He still had the prints in his nail, in his hands, in his feet. So I don't know if that's, you know, if that says something about our bodies, about what it's going to be like in that day. But anyway, there's certain things about our lives and our needs, our physical needs are going to be gone, right? It's going to be gone. But it says, now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. So our body, you know, we eat, we do these things, but immorality is something completely different. What we do in our bodies, we can dishonor the Lord, right? There is a moral issue associated with what we do with our bodies. That is a very serious thing. And he's going to talk about how it is a very serious thing. We can't take this lightly. It does not logically follow that, you know, yeah, well, I'm hungry, I eat, if I have a need, I go visit the temple of Aphrodite with 1,000 priestesses that were prostitutes. That's the culture they lived in. Adultery was wrong, except for that. So a husband and wife, the husband, adultery would have been wrong, but it's okay to go to the temple. That was just part of their culture, and they they thought, hey, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. It is a big deal. And that's what Paul wants, is going to talk about. Because our body was not made for that. Our body was not made for sexual immorality. Our body was made for those things being, our desires being met in marriage. That's what it is. It says, now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Our body is for the Lord. And he's going to talk a little bit more about what that means as we go on, but our body's for the Lord. Do we, you know, is that how we view our body? It's for the Lord. My body's for the Lord. What I do with my body. And then it says, and the Lord for the body. So the Lord cares about what goes on in our bodies. He cares. Now, I meant to talk a little bit about this. So the kind of the pagan or the Roman view, the culture they lived in, how they viewed the body. Sometimes you may have heard this, a ghost in a shell, right? You may have heard that, or a spirit and just a shell. It's like, that's not who we are. We're not this spirit and soul trapped in this body. Many of the religions, the philosophies, Gnostic heresies, they believe that you know, the physical body is evil, and it's hopeless, and there's really no point in trying to restrain it, because it's just evil. That's just the way it is. But inside of me is the immaterial part of me, and that's the good part. That's untouched by what I do in my body. That's what they believe. So you could do anything you want in your body. My spirit is still pure and holy, and it doesn't matter what my body does. And they believed in, and after, most religions believe in some sort of afterlife, but it's disembodied, right? It's just, it's a spiritual thing. But see, Christianity is completely different than that. This is me, right? This body, this is me. This is the instrument that God has chosen that in order to, well, we'll get it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but so he talks about, so that's the view of the pagan view is immaterial, is untouched by the physical. But Christianity is, no, the physical is very important. Jesus Christ came into this world in flesh. So he is the incarnation. That is, he's redeemed the physical body for his purpose. That's why it's important about what we do in our bodies. So Paul touches on the resurrection here. You know, he's beginning to talk about it, verse 14. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. So he's touching on the resurrection. He's going to talk about it more chapter 15. So our bodies are not for sexual immorality. We're made in the image of God. Our bodies are to reflect something of him and his character in this world. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. The body belongs to him, and it can bring him glory. And he can fulfill his will in this life in our bodies. He uses us in our bodies to fulfill his will, reaching out to others, being involved in his church, preaching the gospel, his hands and his feet, right? This is the, and we look forward to the redemption of the body. One day we will have new bodies. This is it's kind of a deep subject, and I feel like I'm just kind of scratching the surface in this. Now take a look at Romans 8. Romans 8, he's raised up the Lord and he will raise us up in our bodies, and he will redeem our bodies. So Romans 8, verse 13. I'm sorry, 18. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So in our bodies, right, there's going to be glory revealed in us. And it talks about verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our body. So this is something that's future, right? This hasn't happened yet. This is something that we're looking forward to, the redemption of our body and the adoption. So the adoption, we have a taste of that now, but ultimately it's going to be our new bodies. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:23 prays that our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. And 2 Corinthians 5:10. Talking about the judgment seat of Christ, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So the things that are done in our body, it matters. It matters. God cares about our body. God created our bodies, and he's using our bodies to bring him glory. The Lord Jesus Christ came in a body. So it goes on. So back to the chapter. 1 Corinthians 6. So 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? In the members, it's like limbs, right? The word, it's like a limb. So like I said, in the world today, we are his hands and his feet, the church. We are, our bodies are members of Christ. And then he says, then he's using their logic, right? So they made this logical leap to say that they could do what they wanted, but he's now using some logic with them. Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. How can you take this body that is a member of Christ and use it for something and make yourself and make them members of a harlot? How can you can't, certainly not, he says. you can't, don't. May it never be, another translation says. And it's verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. So there's something spiritual, there's something reality that happens when two people come together, that they are made one, not just in marriage, but the actual act. And there is nothing casual about this. You know, people talk about, well, casual sex, right? It's just sleep around, casual. There's nothing casual about this. This is a serious thing. Joined in one body, you are one body, and you do tremendous damage. We do, people do tremendous damage to themselves who are, that go about this, that do this, immorality. There's nothing casual about this. So it says, verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So we're joined with the Lord or joined with a harlot. How can you be one with more than one person? You can't. Ephesians 5:30. But it's, yeah, it says that, you know, we're one with him. Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It is a mystery. It is this whole, you know, our bodies and what we do with our bodies and becoming one, it's a mystery. It is a mystery. But there's something amazing and wonderful about it. And like I said, we are doing damage to ourselves if we pursue that kind of a lifestyle. Body, soul, and spirit. 1 Corinthians 6. Yeah, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So, verse 18, flee. It's flee and keep fleeing is the tense of the verb there. Flee and keep fleeing sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So not all sins are the same. You know, there are certain sins, it's against the Lord, but it's also against your own body. That's doing damage. You know, I've heard this, you know, said to, you know, maybe teens at a meeting with talking about sexual immorality and, you know, women, you know, and men, every time you sleep with someone, you're ripping a little piece of your heart out and you're giving it to them. And then you sleep with someone else and it's another piece of your heart ripped out and given to them. And pretty soon you're just fragmented and you have nothing left. That's what it is. You're leaving your heart with every partner. You're fragmented. You're doing damage to your soul and body. So every sin is not the same. So flee. Flee and keep fleeing sexual immorality. You know, how do we do that? How do we flee? Reject worldly view of casual sex, immorality. Understand that God designed marriage to fulfill these desires, and believe what the Bible says about it. Believe what the Bible says about our bodies and how God does care about what we do with our bodies and how, you know, and then he goes on, here's some other things to understand and lay hold of. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So our literal physical body is the temple or sanctuary or sacred place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit indwells in us. Don't you know that your body, this physical body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, I tell you this, you look at people differently if you think about this. You look at another believer, that person's the temple of the Holy Spirit. you look at people differently. You know, it says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So again, that's, you know, this idea of we are not our own. We don't, this body is not mine to do with what I please. I commit my body to him, what he wants with this body. And then verse 20, for you were bought at a price. So he's got the receipt. He bought you. He's got the receipt. You belong to him. So you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that is really the application that Paul gives to these Corinthians. You know, turn away from these ideas, these pagan ideas about your body and about desires. And it does make a difference how you live and what you do with your body. It's not yours to do with what you please. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, all right. Amen. So, whoever's next is going to do chapter 7. So, all right, any questions or comments? Oh, yeah.
So, I'd like that you made all these points.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Without even having to
worry
about the
Oh, yeah.
I think what most people need
Yeah, right. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, and those are important as well. Yeah, for sure. Yes, Ray.
I appreciated what you said about fleeing. I heard other commentators and certain people talk about the fact that this run away.
Right, Joseph, right? Yeah, Joseph, he physically, literally fled. Right. Yeah. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reality of that you've redeemed our bodies. Lord, we just stand in awe of this reality of all that you've purchased, what you have purchased, what you've accomplished. And Lord, it's our desire that we would glorify you in our bodies, that we would honor you, that we would flee these things that would cause us to stumble. Lord, help us to just walk with you and honor you. Help us to communicate these things to our young people, and may you just continue to bless this assembly and help us to continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.